How are we all doing? I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go? What a, thanks, Stevie. I need some more cheerers like that. Not for me, but for Jesus. Matthew 28. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew 28. Oh man, you have no idea how much is running around in my head this morning. How much I want to say, how much I want to preach, how much I want to talk, but first of all, before we do that, a little bit of family news. I did see Ralph here earlier, and I know Matt's here. There's Ralph there. Just condolences to the Koffler family. Rowena, who used to be part of our body and is still a regular at our Legends, passed away and went to be with the Lord on Friday during the day. And so we just want to give condolences to them. We chatted to Lynn. And the good news is that she's in glory. Amen. That we know where she is. And while it's hard on the family and on us, and we loved Rowena. She was one of our favorite legends. But she's in glory at the moment with a complete body, a resurrected body. And we're going to talk a bit about that stuff today, because today is a good day. And I might get a little bit excited, and I might shout a bit, but I'm not shouting at you. I trust you will shout with me. Because I thought this morning, a thought came to me, I saw it this morning, that I went to visit a friend this morning, and I have to file a missing persons report, because he was not in the grave.
That's right.
Thanks, Ken, for your enthusiasm. I know it's early. Come on, stay with me. Get with me. And I want to talk about the grave is empty. That first picture you saw was a picture that I took when I had the privilege of being in Israel. It is meant to be the tomb of Joseph Arimathea, where Jesus was buried. Thank you for that word. Where Jesus was buried. And this is the internal picture of that tomb. And obviously worn away by years and years. But that is where they say Jesus was buried and where he rose from. You know, when I was younger, people used to teach you stuff from the Bible and then not teach you stuff about from the Bible. But we believe in teaching a full Bible theology, the full counsel of God. So I'm going to start with a strange scripture this morning, which is not Matthew, but stay there. Because I want you to read this with me and to understand where I'm coming from. 1 Corinthians 15:12. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then yours, preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Well, that's a really weird scripture to talk on Resurrection Sunday. No, the reason I'm pointing this out is because I want you to get a full Bible counsel, a full counsel of God. And that we understand that I'm going to stand here this morning and I'm going to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ because I believe so much in it. And Paul writes this thing helping us to have our confidence in the resurrection because we're going to see at the end that Jesus was the first fruits. We need to understand Old Testament so that we can understand New Testament. And the kids did an amazing description of what the Passover is all about. And what the resurrection, the death and the resurrection of Christ. And we started last Friday, on Friday, and we said, well, what's the point? Let's just rush and get to Sunday, because Sunday's the cool stuff. And we have to understand that if there was no Friday, there could be no Sunday. And Sunday is only a part of the culmination of Friday. It's like we say we're a word and spirit people. And we cannot separate the two. You cannot have a divorce in the family of God that says, no, we're only word people or we're only spirit people. We are word and spirit. And there is death and there's resurrection. You cannot separate the two. And that is good news for all of us. That is exciting news for us that we understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay. Let's go. Matthew chapter 28. Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel, I'm not going to try that today, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Can you picture with me? Come on. Stone, angel sitting on the, swinging his feet on the edge of the stone. Glory of the Lord all around, and he's just sitting waiting for the ladies to come. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. Which means these brave Roman soldiers passed out with fear. They fainted. I like the way they put it. And they became like dead men. Doof, 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 doof. What's that? It's the soldiers passing out, fainting. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid." This speaks to us of joy and hope and victory, a victorious battle that Christ has won. "For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. As he said, come and see." I've said before that the stone wasn't rolled away so that Jesus could get out of the tomb. Remember, he had a resurrected body. He didn't need the stone to be able to, so that we could come and see. And we've had the privilege, I know some of you have been to Israel, and you've had the opportunity to come and see that the tomb is empty. The place where he lay, then go quickly and tell. If you're not sure what to do with the gospel, here it is. Don't be afraid. He is not here. He has risen. Come see, go tell. Our great commission. Go and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Go and tell my brothers, go to Galilee, and there you will see me. Now, of course, I want to touch a little bit on some things this morning. I want to talk about some conspiracy theories. Yeah. First one, Jesus didn't really die. You heard it? You read it? Seen it? He didn't really die. He just passed out on the cross and he fainted and he swooned, is a nice word. And then they wrapped him up and they put him in the tomb, and the tomb was cold, and so when he was in the tomb, he revived in the tomb. Well, the sole purpose of crucifixion was what? So you could swoon? No. Let's just think logically. The Romans were very good at killing people. That was the purpose. That's why, as I said on Friday, they broke their legs so that they couldn't push themselves up and get some air, because they were asphyxiating because of the whole medical thing. And Danny will be outside having coffee, and he would love to explain the whole thing to you afterwards. After beating him, after carrying that cross, too weak to carry it himself, they gave it to Simon of Cyrene, said, "You carry his cross." Carried it, being nailed there. The sponge was a poor man's drink, just to help him have something. And then they stuck a spear in his side, and then he swooned. I think not. Jesus died. Second one, the disciples stole his body. Well, actually, the disciples were not even expecting the resurrection. And they got past all the guards, the Roman soldiers, whose job was to make sure that the tomb stayed sealed. etc., etc. The women were coming the next day to anoint his body. Read it, it's in the scriptures. The Jews stole his body. Well, the Jews stole his body. One small problem. When the Christians got all excited about the risen Savior, all the Jews had to go was like, dead Jesus, sorry, mistake for you. No, case closed. The Romans stole the body. No sense at all. That doesn't even make sense. The Romans' point was to kill Jesus, stick him in the grave, seal it, put the guards, and say he's dead, nothing happened. The Romans were actually not in mourning for a leader. The Romans didn't care, to sound a little bit crass, to them Jesus was just another dead Jew. As the hundreds of them that were on the crosses with him the day before preparation. They had no reason. And then, of course, the final one that I really love, I call it the ET theory. The body simply disappeared. You know, ET come home? No. Extraterrestrial beings came and took him. Well, wow, then thousands of Christians at that time were celebrating the resurrection. Why were thousands of them so excited about it? There's no, for us this morning, we shouldn't even be debating the resurrection, trying to make it sound like something it wasn't, trying to make it sound that, well, what are we doing here? But my point today for us is to revel in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and declare loudly and boldly, the grave is empty. Thank you.
Alan, well done. Speak with me, my brother.
We want to walk in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Now, Alan never used to have a voice like that. It's only his resurrected voice that speaks like that. Come on, you know I'm joking. Philippians 3:8. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. Somebody read that previously this morning. And be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through the faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul boldly says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the weird idea that a man could rise from the dead, that come out of a tomb, that angels would come and open up the tomb, and that he would walk among the people. Because this is not just scientific, this is not just history, this is documented proof for those of you who really want proof. These are not made up stories. Hallelujah, Mark, you're doing so well. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and his fellowship. Not only the divine power of the resurrected Christ, but of the power operating, as Kevin preached this morning, ministered this morning, out of the life that we understand, the one that enables us to have this new life. So what did the resurrection reveal for us? The resurrection revealed, number one, this is not a created myth. Hallelujah. Thank you. Legally, the event could not be fabricated, because who went down to the graveside, the tomb, to see? A bunch of ladies. Important to understand the signs of the times, because a woman's word would not be heard in court. They couldn't even witness to it. That's women's testimony. We're not allowed to testify in court. Jesus' opponents never denied that he had risen. They told lies. Go and read it in Matthew 28:11-15. They bribed some soldiers, gave them some money and said, this is what you have to say. They didn't deny it. They just said, well, okay, he's not here. We're not sure what to do with this thing, but we don't want anybody to know about this thing. So we're going to go ahead and say, that these soldiers were no good. They are recorded about 17 instances with various situations, circumstances involving over 500 people. That's sort of like conclusive evidence. Mass hypnosis, another theory. Wow. The second one, the resurrection is not a resuscitation from death. We looked at that and made sure that the Romans knew that and got that right. Well, we didn't, sorry Caesar, we didn't quite get it right. We thought he was dead. What would be the answer? Off with your head. Yeah. Lazarus was resuscitated. Jairus' daughter was resuscitated. The widow's son was resuscitated. Jesus was resurrected. A new resurrected body, and one day we will have resurrected bodies, and we will live in truth and worship Him in spirit and truth. When we raise somebody from the dead, they don't have a resurrected body as we understand the resurrection of Christ. Do you remember, because He said, don't touch me, I'm not gone to the Father as yet. Don't hold on to me. Because of His new divine body. We don't, if we've prayed for somebody and they've come back from the dead, they're not resurrected in the true sense of resurrection. We will call them, they were raised from the dead, but their resurrection, well, they still have the same decaying body that is fading away as we do. The resurrection and not Christ's surviving legacy. I'll explain that just now. But we understand mortal men leave legacies. A.W. Tozer, Martin Luther, the Wesley brothers, D.L. Moody, pick a name. They leave legacies. Jesus didn't leave. This was not Jesus' living legacy. His resurrection was a way to the future and eternity. It was a key of what was to come. 1 Corinthians 15:1. The resurrection of Christ. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scriptures, that He was buried and He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture. And here we go. And that He appeared to Cephas, or Peter, then to the 12, then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, his brother, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. I'm not guessing this. I haven't heard this from somebody else. I didn't quite. I'll try to get it documented straight, but I saw Jesus with my own eyes. Irrefutable. Understanding, knowing His resurrection. Understand that when Paul preaches, he said Christ died, was buried, was raised again, and rose again, and appeared to others. Documented, irrefutable, that Jesus lives and rose and ascended to heaven and seated with the Father. It gives us a twofold confession. This is good news for us, because if you have a mind that wants to seek and find out, it's good for you, because we see Christ died and was raised to life. That's a twofold confession. It is also a twofold verification on this. He appeared to others and a verification of a resurrection. Are we there? The resurrection is a transformation from death to life. 1 Corinthians 15:42. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. That's the resurrected body. That's what awaits us. We will, this old decaying thing here, underneath all this lurks a good body. It's still decaying, it's getting decrepit and old, it's battling against our forces down here. It's called AGE. Can't say the word. But Christ's resurrection was of divine power. It's power in nature that changed the state of His body to divine and resurrected. We have this divine resurrected power of Christ, as Kevin read so beautifully this morning, coursing through our veins. Because we have, as Michael said this morning, we have abundant life. And we can live in it because of the resurrection. The resurrection assures us of our salvation. So how's this? Whilst the death on the cross appeased the wrath of God, which means that we have propitiation, which means that the wrath of God has been appeased. That was what Friday did for us. That was when the covenant was cut. And you say, well, if that's when the covenant, what's the rest all about? Well, I'm glad, so glad you asked. The resurrection means that we are justified. It means that God said that sacrifice that he gave, the once and for all, the last sacrifice that was given, my son Jesus who died and bled on the cross and cut the new covenant, I accept that. And so therefore, I will raise him to life to be seated back with me in heavenly places. And so Jesus, God not only said this was necessary, propitiation took place, resurrection brings justification, which actually means as it's all done. The case is now closed. You don't have to open it. We should get excited because that means I can never be tried for my sins ever again. And the sin you committed yesterday and perhaps even this morning before you came here, you're not going to be tried for that because Jesus finished it. And he said, it is finished. As I said on Friday, tetelestai. It is paid for in full. We are justified and that's why we are his righteousness. His resurrection assures us of God's living and active power. Terry McCallman writes the song, when the terror of the enemy seems to rise all around me. Sometimes we feel that. This is just too much. I don't get it. Rise or still I will not be afraid. For there is one greater, my shield, my defender, and he will stand beside me till that day. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. That's the resurrection power for us. That's what the Lord is saying. Romans 6:4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Amen. John 20:24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my fingers in the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Wow, that's a strong statement. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, divine resurrected body, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Now we say, well, so my Lord and my God, what's that about? Well, we have to understand, Hebrews were monotheistic in their belief. And here Thomas gives Jesus two divine titles in one moment in time. The revelation was so great for him, my Lord and my God. It wasn't just Lord. It wasn't just teacher, rabbi. It wasn't just, oh Lord. And that's why we say we need to understand God as Lord and Master. Lord and Savior and Master. You know the old quip, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord of all at all. He's got to be Lord and Master. He's got to be our Lord and our God. Two titles of divinity Thomas gives him. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. That's us. We believe. How many of you can identify with Thomas the skeptic? You would only believe if he saw the cold facts. I think we have enough cold facts around us. We have a number of evidences in the power of this resurrection. We have a number of evidences where we see the signs and the wonders and the miracles that take place. That are taking place every day on planet Earth as we live. when in God's grace and mercy, He reaches down and He heals somebody from a physical ailment. When He reaches down, because we know the curtain is torn and people come in and they are saved. And salvation, the greatest healing ever, the salvation, the healing of the soul. We see the Holy Spirit and the baptism and the evidence of God's hand in our lives. Last one. His resurrection assures us of God's triumph over all. And you might be going through stuff today. And you might be wondering, well, where is God? Well, where is Jesus? Where is the Holy Spirit? But He triumphs over all. He has conquered death, as we sang this morning, we declared. 1 Corinthians 15:55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Because we have a resurrected Jesus, a living Savior. The tomb is empty. The tomb is open for you to go and see. File the missing report. My friend is missing. I don't know where he is. I'll tell you. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, intercessing for us daily. When it comes and he says, don't worry, Dad, they're one of mine. I got it. Don't worry, Dad. It's all cool. Who's that guy? Of course God knows, just some poetic license. The grave is empty. You can go and see it. 1 Corinthians 15:20, and this is the kicker. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man, Adam, came death, by a man, Jesus, has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. We have a future inheritance. Scripture talks about, sometimes we mustn't forget that salvation doesn't just mean here. There's a deeper, more meaningful, eternal salvation that awaits us. And we understand that when Adam sinned, we all were born into that. We all have, I think the kids told us this morning, for all have sinned. You know, where's Johnny? He's probably in Sunday school. He said, everyone sinned. That's just fact. We can't help that. We can't escape that. Say, thanks, Adam. But Jesus came, and through Jesus we have eternal life. He came, and what it means that He came as the first fruits, we have to go back to Old Testament to understand what they were saying. They were saying that when we did, if you go and read in Exodus and Leviticus, that when the harvest came, they would take the first fruits and they would take it and they would offer it as a sacrifice. And what they were saying was, here's our first fruits of our labor of the harvest. We're excited to bring you the first fruit because that ensures a big harvest for us to come. And what is Christ, Paul saying about Christ here? He was that first fruit. He was that sacrificial offering because there is a harvest, us, coming into resurrection, eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we are so excited this morning about your word, Lord. And God, we come this morning, we thank you for Jesus, Son of God, that you are our first fruit, Lord God, that you are our lifter of the head. You are our glory, Lord. Father, we praise you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you came to be the sacrifice for us, that you were offered up as a first fruit for us. Lord God, that because of your resurrected life, because of you in eternity, we can walk into that as well, that we will have resurrected bodies. That when the day comes, Lord God, that we will live eternally with you. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of the cross. Thank you that the wrath of God was appeased against us. Thank you, Lord God, for your risen resurrection. The same breath that's breathed into Adam, is breathed into us, Holy Spirit. Thank you for teaching us and leading us and guiding us into all things. Lord, we celebrate this as a memory, but we cherish it today as a living and active lifestyle. that we in Christ have conquered death, the eternal death. Blessed be your name, Lord. Let's just stand together. Thank you, God. Wherever you are, however you choose to do it, why don't you just thank the Lord for his Son Jesus? Not just for the death and the cross, but for the resurrection. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that the grave is empty. Thank you, Lord God, that we need not be afraid. Thank you, Lord, for the sake of the gospel, that we can go and see. We see an empty tomb, that we bless you, Lord. Father, we can go and tell others of the resurrection power, the might of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Bless.